Welcome to Local Share Green Action Podcast. This show is produced by Go Green Locally, a 501c3 nonprofit providing tools and resources for people that are looking for ways to take even more successful local action that makes a difference for our people and our planet. Today in our podcast, I'm speaking with someone who spent a number of years studying and perfecting ways for people to transform their lives and express who they are and their purpose. I'm speaking with Kevin Stratman. Kevin Stratman is the creative heart of Inner Magnet Process. The innovative Inner Magnet Process he has developed provides a powerful key for transforming the way we think and creating new possibilities. Kevin has transformed the lives of countless individuals and groups that are committed to new and powerful expression and purpose in their lives. He is a keynote presenter and has over 25 years of experience. Welcome to the show, Kevin. I'm so excited to speak with you and learn more about your path of green action by helping people to actualize who they are, set ambitious goals, and take action to help our planet.
Thank you, Jenny. Thank you for having me. This is just so great.
So what has helped you to realize that our planet can benefit from more leaders and motivated citizens who are willing to get out of their comfort zone and take on new projects to challenge the status quo?
You know, it's funny. I've always thought that, at least many years, that I was an advocate of the environment and a tree hugger and things like that. But COVID sure did kind of waken me to see what I could do to create more. And during COVID, I watched the movie Kiss the Ground, and I was deeply moved by it. And I chose to start a nonprofit, Thriving Earth Foundation. And there was just a number of breakdowns that happened around COVID. One of the phrases I remember was, we can't wait to go back to normal. And one thing that would come up for me would be like, you know, well, we weren't even happy when we were there. Why would we want to go back to it? So I just kind of found myself in this kind of question, what can I do to create greater relationships and really make a difference for the environment?
Excellent. Can you tell us a story about someone who maybe had a goal or and was being held back by their thinking or past assumptions or otherwise?
You know, and that's tough because there's so many. You know, I just not too long ago took a course on cognitive biases by Alexander B. Swan. And he said, you know, we've got like 200 biases that are affecting us. And we don't even see them. It's like, okay, you know, I don't have time to do what I want to do, you know, or I'm not loved, or, you know, my children don't love me. I'm not going to marry this person because they're like that. And I just find that it's amazing how we just kind of continue to create these biases and don't look at them, disappear them so that we can create something else. So I had one guy, I have one guy that I had an experience with where he said, I need to get rid of my financial anxiety. And I was like, well, you know, how could you if you're taking ownership of it? You know, you're saying it's who you are, and who would you be if you didn't have it? Rather than trying to get rid of it, why not just look at what you created in that thought and you know, feel it and see if that's really generating what you need to be generating? You make a ton of money. You're doing really well. I've known you for a very long time. And what is it that makes that energy continue to perpetuate? And just by doing a little bit of work with him, you know, very short period of time, he had created a new job for himself. He was no longer creating that he had financial anxiety, and it totally switched around for him.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. So what is a way that we maybe can challenge our assumptions when we think about doing something that we feel maybe we can't achieve or is just plain scary to consider?
Well, I think that that's it. If we can just kind of back into that, you know, I think that the first thing is when we're challenging something, it has a tendency to open up this resistance towards it. And what we resist persists. So rather than looking at it and thinking that it's a problem, just first of all, to be able to just see that we're having the thinking around it and take it into neutral, just take it into neutral. Just get present with it. Oh, look, I'm having a thought that this is really difficult. Or look, I'm having a thought that I want another piece of chocolate cake and that thought's going to take me over or whatever, you know. We just have these thoughts. But the first thing that we can do is to just really look at the thought. Just look at the thought and say, okay, look, I'm having this thought. And what happens is when you look at it, you disrupt it. You disrupt the thought. It's like if I say to you, what's your next thought going to be? And then as soon as I say that, for just a moment, you realize that you're having thoughts and you're not your thoughts. Most people think that they are their thoughts. And so all of a sudden you see, okay, what's my next thought? I'm having thoughts and let me watch. And you see that you're bigger than those thoughts that you're having. So the first step I would say in facing a challenge is to not put all the personal into it and just see your thinking, emotions, or stories you have and just get as present as you can with it.
Yeah. That sounds very powerful. Do you suggest that people maybe even sit down and, you know, be present with themselves and write it out a little bit so it's kind of out of their head and maybe where they can see it and observe it more easily?
That's one of the most powerful spaces to do it, even on your computer, is just to sit there and watch yourself writing it in a piece of paper. Even that disconnects you. It's kind of like, oh, look, I'm writing on a piece of paper. I'm having thoughts versus I am those thoughts. I'm watching the movie rather than being the major drama character in the movie. That's a very powerful practice to just log, and not whole stories, not diary, but just quick five or six word bullet points. I'm worried about paying my rent. I'm worried about the pain in my knee. Why are they painting that house that color that I don't like? Whatever it is, just look at the thoughts and start to see that you're having the thoughts. That'll be the first step in disrupting the thoughts.
Excellent. So when we look around our society, can you tell me what you see that might be holding us back from exploring some new possibilities? Maybe.
Yeah,
in general ways or more specific ways?
Sure. You know, I think it's kind of, once again, it goes back to all these biases that we've created. And these biases have been made into decisions, agreements, and beliefs. And they're very distracting. They're so distracting that we've lost the ability to kind of feel and see and do things in the present moment. Like most people think that responsibility is worrying about the future rather than responding to what is in the present moment, which is really the core of responsibility. So the first thing that we've already talked about is to look at these things that we've made up, these things that we made up. If I say to you, for example, right now, Jenny, oh, everything in the world is absolutely wonderful, you know. And I say, well, what did you hear? You didn't hear me say everything in the world is absolutely wonderful. You heard your thinking about, well, look at the environment, look at politics, look at, you know, and you just go straight into all the things and what they mean. And that's powerful because those experiences can make a big difference because we can express ourselves from those experiences. But they also affect us because in those biases, sometimes we take ourselves out of deeper relationships, working with others, hearing what people are saying and being in their experience, which is the space to really create powerful new opportunities.
Yeah, that's interesting. There was a study that I know they had people that came together that were actually more diverse with each other. They maybe had different ways of thinking about things, maybe people that wouldn't normally be together as a group. And they compared them to a group of people that had maybe interacted before, had more agreement with each other, felt like they had similar ways of thinking. And the group that was more diverse and kind of brought together actually ended up thinking outside of the box and came up with, were more effective at coming up with solutions. So I would think this kind of really awareness of our thinking and allowing ourselves to be in challenge of what we assume to be the truth or the truth about each other or what's possible, that right. It might be good to stay in that kind of challenge, challenging what we just assume to be true.
Right. So, no, I mean, very, that's just that's a perfect example. You know, I mean, I can talk to people and I find my head saying, well, this is the type of person that you're talking to and you need to not say this and say this. And it takes me out of the connection that we're in, which is from the expression that we originally came from. You know, what is the expression that we originally came from that made me be doing what I'm doing right now? It came from an expression that I continue to change and I don't need to be confined by all of those agreements. And I love the fact that, you know, you talk, this is what's so great about being an advocate and working with people that are advocates for nature. If you look at Pachamama, these groups of people, we're talking about something that is kind of more abstract. They're able to, I think that they have that possibility of getting into that greater space of, you know, we have one planet and we're all sharing it. One thing that came up for me when I created my nonprofit is how when we got together and we had meetings, how we kind of came from these different identities of, you know, what I'm doing is better, or what I'm doing is more important, or I hope I don't look dumb in this conversation. Right now, the environment is an issue, but it's an issue that is going to be facing all mankind very soon. And it's something that we need to really increase our awareness and our presence in so that we can create a greater power in making a difference.
Yeah, for sure. Can you point to maybe a person or people in history that you believe were using inner magnet technology long before it was discovered, and maybe how it worked for them to overcome or achieve a goal or maybe greater presence and happiness?
Yeah, for sure. You know, first of all, I mean, yeah, I love that before it was discovered. Well, I don't know. I just discovered it from my own experience, but it was always there. I just kind of tapped into, you know, these different protocols that definitely have been practiced by powerful people. You know, the first thing is, well, I don't know what comes up. I think I just mentioned Pachamama. Pachamama's a really good one. I mean, this lady, Lynn Twist and her husband, they were in New York, and these indigenous people from Ecuador found that they didn't want to cut down their forests, and they didn't want to have to succumb to getting the dollar whopper by cutting down their forests. So, you know, I mean, so the Americans could have their dollar whopper that we'd go and say, hey, give us some of your trees. They didn't want to succumb to this. And one of their greatest fears that they had was people from America. So they were able to do what I would say is inner magnet principles, which was to see that they were having a fear. They were seeing that they were having a fear about not being able to take care of their rainforest. And then they put it into inquiry. They just really looked at it. They looked at it, and this is what I think that Graham Wallace, the man that came up with a creative process, talked about. He talked about the four stages of creation. The first one is to do some thinking. The second one is put it in incubation. And the third one is bring illumination to it. And the fourth one is basically proving it or reacting in it, if you will. Right. If I'm a little bit off, forgive me. But so they got the thinking, then they took it into, well, what are we going to do about this fear that we have about protecting our rainforest? And then they contacted Lynn Twist, who is an environmentalist, did incredible things. I mean, just brilliant Nobel Prize winner. Contacted her and her husband, and they created the possibility of creating Rights of Nature. And with a budget of just a few million dollars, they have the only intact full rainforest that is still there. And the forest doesn't have a voice. but they created a voice for the forest since it can't speak for itself. And I would say this is a perfect example of developing communities and creating programs where you're able to look at your cognitive biases, creating education systems for people to see if getting more and causing more damage to the environment is really going to serve them. So I would say that's a perfect example of inner magnet principles.
Wow. So do you believe that we can take our challenges and maybe past experiences and use them for the benefit, for our benefit to really propel us forward in a more positive way? I mean, I think we all, to some extent, have past just baggage, so to speak, that we kind of bring along with us. Do you have any thoughts about how we can kind of work around that or use that?
Well, this is really the crux of creating new possibilities. I talk to people all the time, you know, environmentalists. There's just so many wonderful environmentalists out there right now. They're just doing really powerful things, but they're not seeing the results. They're not getting the results. And then sometimes what happens is they haven't really come to the place, first of all, looking at their past. I think corporations do this thing is they say, hey, we're going to do something new. We're going to create some new possibilities. And it's kind of like coming up with a mud cake and putting some frosting on the mud cake and saying, hey, look, we've got this beautiful cake. But they haven't been able to do anything to disappear or clear up their beliefs and agreements and decisions from the past. So they're really coming from a muddled state. And if you're coming from a muddled state, you're coming from, you know, life is terrible right now, but we're going to create life being happy. You're coming from a half a cup. If you're coming from a half a cup and you multiply that by anything, wherever you get, you're still coming from lack because you've multiplied it by not happening. It's funny that you say, do you believe or do you agree or something like this? It's like, for me, the first thing is not to take the wrong or rightness out of it, not to necessarily come from it in a belief, but to come from it more in an experience. You know, I experience that when I'm living with what is, it sure does work easier rather than trying to control everything. When I look at nature, you know, the big bugs eat the small bugs eat the microorganisms, you know, it's a perfect cyclical system. And there's no waste. And I am kind of questioning why we would fight nature or why we would try to control nature or why we would want to destroy nature in various different ways without working from nature and learning from nature. And also to be able to tap into a natural knowing. The natural knowing, I just mentioned Graham Wallace. I mean, a perfect example that space of, you know, I'm going to think about it, and then I'm just going to get quiet and put it in incubation. I'm not going to think about it. I may even do something else for a while. I may take a nap. Kekulé came up with the benzene atom just by not being able to figure it out, taking a nap. Then it came to him in a download in a dream. Einstein came up with a lot of the things he came up with when he was practicing his violin or he was looking at how nature works. We've lost that natural knowing of what feels right. Let's learn from nature. Let's learn by getting in more present moments so we can have access to that natural knowing.
That's powerful. If humans were to adopt a new concept, what is a basic concept that can help us really operate from what is and not a judgment of what may not be true? So, like, do you feel we lose power or potential when we kind of go down that rabbit hole of judging others or situations?
Well, yeah, it's really the present practice. It's just what is so, what is, the isness of things. You know, my cell phone broke. Now, I'm going to take action without meaning. I'm going to go to the store, I'm going to fix my cell phone. Or I can sit here and say, it shouldn't have broke. Why did it break? These things are always breaking. And I can use energy and the wrongness of it. So how do I get myself more present? First of all, this is really important. You know, what do you do to get present? You know, I love nature, a little forest behind my apartment, and I have a favorite tree that I go to, and I just sit there with the tree, sometimes put my hand on that tree for 5-10 minutes to just get into the taking the meaning out of things and just getting into this deep presence of expression that we're all a part of, and to reside in that who we are rather than what we are. What we are is these decisions and agreements and beliefs and degrees and what we've learned and baseball fan or whatever, but we're still expressing, and we can continue to express from that great space of defined moments, whether it's breathing, touching a tree, eating your lunch slowly, finding moments where we can completely just really, really get ourselves present. Then as we increase the space around our thinking, we can start to see our thinking. We can put it into incubation. And now we're developing a clearing. We're developing a clearing to create new possibilities. And they're unlimited. I guess one thing I would like to emphasize, I mean, I'm kind of going backwards a little bit, but we have the isness of things. This is what it is. And then we can take action. But most people, when things happen in the isness, they add another component to it, which is because they're so smart and they've believed all these things and focusing from what they are, they just keep on putting meaning back into what is. Meaning into what it is. Meaning, well, this is what it means. This is what it means. This is what it means. And as you put enough meaning into it, you create a vicious circle. You're just stuck in a circle. It's almost like you're in prison and you can't see that there's any other possibilities because you're just in this prison of what is and all the meaning that you put into it. And you've taken yourself out of that ability to really go into that discovery. But with a little bit of presence, I think that we can see and discover that there's other options.
Yeah, I could see it almost like if we talked about the writing down kind of what general ideas of what your thoughts that you're having, that you could kind of vet them, so to speak, as like, what is this thought? And then what does it mean to me? So that you can kind of break it apart a little bit. This is what is, this is the thought, and then this is what it means to me, so that we can kind of self-identify a little bit more when we're going down that rabbit hole.
I'd take it a little farther than that. I would take it even a little bit deeper than that, because if you say, what does it mean for me, I don't know about everybody else, but my personal experience is, it may take me back into that rabbit hole. It just takes me back into this intellect and this mind, which is just so fragmented and so biased. But if you take that, what you just described, and before you take it back into making sense out of it, just feel the energy of it. You know, what does it feel like when I say I don't have time to do what I want to do? Or what does it feel like to say that nobody loves me? Or, you know, what does it feel like to say that I am my financial anxiety? Before you just take all the context out of it and just get the energy of it. Just get the energy of it and just watch the energy. Well, it feels like a dark color. It feels like I can't breathe deeply, or it feels like it's confining. And just look at that feeling, look at that feeling, look at that feeling. And without sticking it back into more thinking about it, just get present with the energy. When you're present with the energy, you're not recreating the energy by putting it back in your head again.
Nice. So what have maybe been some of the rewards that you've experienced in this work?
Mm-hmm. I'm rewarded every single day. I'm just so rewarded when people's lives transform, when they find new possibilities, and they're like, I can't believe it. I'm in a new possibility. I'm fell in love and I'm getting married. You know, just that's the reward.
Nice. That's awesome. If your ideas and your experience and your wisdom were all wrapped up in seeds of potential action for you to give to others, what advice would you give to people that know that they need to take some action that helps our planet and people, but just haven't been able to get to a place where they feel ready?
Well, I mean, this is the same thing as we look at what's happening in the world and we lack motivation and we say, well, how would it make a difference? You know, first off, because we don't know who we are. If we can clear this up, motivation is not to come by saying, I'm going to wait till I get motivated. Or like I said, tomorrow, it's just right now starting to stand into what does it look like making a difference? I don't know. It feels like the environment to me, but what does it look like? I don't know. And just keep on going back to I don't know so you can continue to go into who you are, which is not something that you've decided yet. And then you can go into your experiences and then you have your experiences driving you rather than all the things that you've believed and agreed to. You look at Martin Luther King, you know, look at the movement that he created without Twitter, without email, you know. Hundreds of thousands of people were moved by his conversation of coming from who he was, which all people should be treated equally, right? And, you know, from when you're coming from who you are, we can create anything and big things because people get when you're coming from who you are.
Powerful. So what resource, a book, or a website or film maybe has been particularly helpful or inspiring to you, maybe not just from the sense of like the work that you're doing with Inner Magnet, but has helped inspire you to see possibilities of what we could do to create a bigger and more successful and powerful movement.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, we don't know. We really don't know. We're just one point of view, and there's 8 billion different points of view. When I saw the movie, The Biggest Little Farm, I just was speechless. I had to come home and watch it with my wife. I had to watch it with my kids. It was just so powerful for me to see, you know, we just don't know. You know, they say that if you have 100 ants, you can look this up. Google it. You have 100 ants, 20 of them are lazy. And you remove those 20 lazy ants, and then 20% of the 80 ants become lazy. So for some reason, there's 20 ants that are lazy, but maybe they're really doing something. And The Biggest Little Farm, I don't want to give it away if you haven't seen it, but they realize that there's perfection and imperfections, you know, that there's a bigger picture to things. When they started killing the coyotes, I'm giving it away, I'm sorry, but when they started killing the coyotes, then the gophers proliferated and the gophers started eating all their vegetables, you know. But when they came up with other means, like for example, getting some sheepdogs to protect the chicken and the chickens and they didn't kill the coyotes, then the coyotes had to eat the gophers, and all of a sudden they could grow vegetables and have chickens and eggs at the same time. If we just understand that, you know what, even the things we can't understand, you know, rather than calling it wrong, maybe it's just a point of attaining consciousness that hasn't gotten to consciousness yet. And if we just keep on holding a great consciousness inside of ourselves, a power of illumination without judging, a power of understanding that we all share this planet together, I think that we're going to become more powerful. And that's kind of been my life. We can become more powerful. We can create new and powerful to create new paradigms. I mean, we have to. There's no option. If we don't create them, what we have been doing hasn't been working. We've got to create new paradigms that work more effectively for next generations.
For sure. So how would you like people to contact you to learn more about Inner Magnet?
Yeah, I want to say, here's my phone number, but maybe that's, I just love talking with people. I just love people. But, you know, my website is maybe the first thing is you can kind of look at my background a little bit. I have a website and it's imi.works. Inner Magnet is the name of a company that my team and I have created, Inner Magnet. So the website is imi.works. My email is innermagnet1@gmail.com. And we have a YouTube channel, which you can hit YouTube and put Inner Magnet. We have quite a few videos on kind of short present conversations that we kind of create on the cuff. So I think you could start there. Soon we're going to be unveiling a school community. It's S-K-O-O-L, and it's pronounced school, a school learning community. We're just now about to launch that, hopefully next week, and then we can empower more people that can do these programs and give everything away that I'm creating for free so that we can get this presence going so that we have space to create new possibilities.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for the work that you're doing and staying in the realm of what's possible and helping us all to really be more present in what's possible for each one of us and what's really ultimately possible to bring our communities together and help our planet.
Thank you.
If you haven't yet visited your local Green Online Hub, then please visit gogreenlocally.org and check out the directories for events, groups, businesses, online resources, and local support listings for your area.